Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
When we pray, we should pray not like the heathen do, but we should pray because there's something in our heart, because we spend time with the Lord, because my desperate plea and my desperate cry is for His work in my life. I need to hear from You, Lord, or I need direction from You. A genuine prayer from your heart. Prayer isn't supposed to be reduced to a religious exercise. It's supposed to be about seeking the heart of God and communing with Him.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
In today's message, Pastor Troy will discuss prayer. First of all, we need to understand that prayer isn't just a religious exercise. It's not something that we memorize and recite before meals and bedtime. Prayer is one of the best ways to communicate with God. It's a time for us to sit and listen for His voice. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 1. As we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, Checking the Motives That Move Us.
A problem in the church today is that many are doing things that look spiritual, an abundance of things. You say, how do I know you're following the Lord? Well, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, and it's a bunch of stuff they're doing. But they're not really being spiritual. The most important thing to God is that you be spiritual, that you be a godly person, not just do godly things. It's easy to do godly things. I can do a lot of things and look really good so that when someone asks me my resume, how do I know you're a faithful servant? Oh, well, let me tell you, my wife rarely sees me. I'm so spiritual. Isn't that your first ministry? She's in God's hands. It's the best place for her. I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing all these things. I got this and 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 this. And this. I'm doing 28 hours of work and 24 hours of the day and trying to get a nap in there. I'm so committed to the Lord doing. Sometimes we're doing so much that no one gets to really see our character, because it's the character that God is dealing with. Are we committed? Are we really humble? Can we really serve anybody? Are we really a servant? Or do I have to pick and choose who I want to put myself under? I'm going to pick and choose. Can God really lead us? Is He Lord? See, as people, we are always moved by motives. Something motivates us. I used to get to work, and when I was in the military, I used to get to work really early, not because it was part of the contract, but I liked to get to work early. It was quiet. I could start slow. I was there. I could get things done. I just enjoyed it. It's kind of who I was. And it was good for me. That's why I did it. It was for the company too, but primarily it was for me. I needed that time. That was my motive. I could get ahead. Love being ahead, if at all possible. When I started working with my dad, I was an office manager at a construction company, and my dad came on and became my assistant. I was able to hire him. My dad's also a guy who loves to get there early. So my motive changed. I love to get there early, but then I had to love to get there before my dad. And that wasn't going to happen, because my dad also had the motive of wanting to get there before me. And my dad was willing to sleep there. So I didn't win that one. But you look great. Man, they're there early. He stayed all night. He loves his job. And it's true. But the things that motivate us and that cause us to look good aren't always really godly motives. We need to check our motives. We need to get to the motives. Because there are things that move us the wrong ways because we have the wrong motives. We need to learn to find out what those are and trust the Lord. God wants us to be moved by one single motive, and that is to please Him. To please God. How can I please You, Lord? Jesus said, I only do that which pleases the Father. Only. In other words, I only do that which pleases the Father, but it also says I don't do more than that which would be pleasing to the Father. We busy ourselves with lots of things that wouldn't necessarily please the Father. Jesus has been speaking about an internal work that should be going on in the life of every believer. We spent, I think, 5 weeks in the Beatitudes talking about the work that should be going on in your life if you're a genuine believer filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If you haven't listened to that, I think it's become a very important series. Are those things going on in your life? Are those things being spoken to your heart? Is God addressing things like that in your life? But He's been talking about the internal work because, and then He says, you are the salt of the world, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, setting you on a hill, lifting you up. And so I'm doing an internal work because I'm trying to show you off to a lost world. And if the internal work is not going on, I can't set you up. Salt that has lost its saltiness is not good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. He's exposed the heart behind anger and lust and lying. And He said, they're worse than you think. Though they don't turn into murder and adultery, they are the seed. They're the same plant. It's the same thing. And now He shows us the heart that we should have as we let go of those worldly things and we turn from those activities of the flesh to the activities that please God. It's amazing, but even though we turn to things that please God, we can still do those things with selfish motives. It's crazy. There are some who are amazing worship leaders. They pick up their guitar, they pick up their instrument. It's like, oh, I'm in the presence of the Lord. But there are so many more who have a sense of self-satisfaction. What do the people think of me? I hope they enjoy me. I hope they like me. There are some who are genuinely giving. No problem. God has blessed me. In fact, I can't give it away. God just keeps blessing me. I'm so blessed. Sometimes financially, sometimes it's just with this sense of peace, but God has blessed me. And so they have no problem giving. Man, God gives. I have sown and I have reaped. I have seen. But there are others who give a lot because they have a lot. And what they want is they're hoping somebody will find out. They give that money and hopefully, you know, when they consider what they want to do with the building or what they want to do, they're going to consider my counsel after all. If I go, so does the big check. Hey, why didn't they counsel me on the carpet or, you know, you name it? Why haven't they asked me to be an elder? I give a lot more than most people, I'm sure. But that's not the heart of an elder. There are many more who give to be noticed. Jesus is totally aware of these hypocrisies of the heart. And so He begins to address His disciples now who are turning from the world and toward following Him. And He begins to tell them where their heart should be in these religious or spiritual or godly activities. And He begins verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. Now, this is not saying that if you do your deeds where someone sees you, you know, you're at the offering box every now and then, we'll see this, I'll walk by, you know, it's not like they're in like a voter's booth or something where you can go in and then come out from behind the curtain. They're right there. Sometimes people are walking by and you're trying to do your drop and someone sees you. You don't lose your reward for that. It's the heart that God is addressing here. It's the one who goes, that does say $2,000, right? Yeah, okay. Because I didn't want it to say 200, 2,000. Okay. Where's the offering box at? And drop it in there. That's what God's talking about. Standing there waiting for the pastor to come by. Oh, there he is. Go by the offering box. Oh, I didn't want you to see me there, Pastor. That's what he's talking about. Not doing those things. I've heard some say, I don't want anyone to know that I'm doing this because I don't want to lose my reward in heaven. Now, to the Jews, charitable deeds and giving was very, very important, especially after the Babylonian captivity, where they learned about taking care of each other. And so in the temple, there was an area called the Chamber of Silence. It was a place set apart, a separate area, where they could walk in, and if they wanted to give above and beyond the normal sacrifices and normal giving and offerings, and they wanted to give above and beyond, God has blessed them, they want to honor Him, they want to contribute for the needs of the poor and those things, they would come into this chamber of silence, and they were silently to give their offering. And it was also a place that the poor could go and quietly, in silence, with total respect, could go and seek the help and receive help with their needs. So it was the Chamber of Silence. However, the Chamber of Silence became anything but silent. And that's one of the things that Jesus refers to, that they go and they ring their bell. They had put a bell in there, and whenever a significant offering was given, they would ring that bell. Bing, bing, bing. Kind of, have you gone to Long John Silver's? When you enjoy your meal, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to say, when you leave, if you enjoyed your meal, ring the bell. Ring, ring, ring. Every now and then someone's like, ring, 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 ringing the bell, going out, thank you, thank you. That's what they would do. They would ring that bell. Can you imagine? We put some electronic bells on our, every time you deposit, ring, 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 ring. Yeah, that was me. Thank you. Or a little reader, so you just put it in and it reads your check. Good enough. Bling, 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 bling. Or, wah, 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 wah. We could have it even talk back. Giving's down for you, huh? That would be offensive. That'd be offensive to me. It'd be offensive to everyone giving. And it's an offense to God. Because our giving of good deeds and our giving of our time, talent, and treasure, all of this is to honor God. It's to glorify Him. And so He says, do it in secret so that there's no motive for it except to honor Me. And by the way, let that be a motive. That you do what you do to honor Him. And not only honor Him, but because you trust Him. So Jesus says, don't do your charitable deeds to be seen by men. You see, the goal isn't to be seen as spiritual, which is what these things allow us to be seen as. Very spiritual. Oh, wow. I'm struggling with giving. I can't give. And look at them. Every other week, they're given a check. Man, and I can't even give the dollar in my wallet. Lord, help me. We're not to do our deeds to be seen by men. Now, again, don't crawl along the wall and behind the curtain so that you can stick your arm out and try to give. Just walk by them, not give. You know, give. Give to the Lord. Wait till everybody's gone. Come in early. I don't know. You're not going to lose your rewards. Just don't seek the praises of men. God wants to work in you. And that means He asks us to let go of things. A.W. Tozer wrote in his book, That Incredible Christian, to teach that the filling with the Holy Spirit is given to the Christian to provide power for service is to teach truth, but not the whole truth. Power for service is but one effect of the experience, and I do not hesitate to say that it is among the least of several effects. It is least for the very reason that it touches service, presumably service to mankind. And contrary to the popular belief, to serve this present age is not the Christian's first duty nor the chief end of man. As I have stated elsewhere, he says, the two great verbs that dominate the life of man are be and do. What a man is comes first in the sight of God. What he does is simply determined by what he is. So what you are is of the first importance always. The modern notion that we are saved to serve, while is true only in a wider context and is often misunderstood and overabused by busy Christians today, and in that sense is not true at all. God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be generous. He wants you to be a person who trusts God. And if you are that, you will end up doing those things. And it's a hard thing. And so since it has to be who you are, the next thing Jesus addresses is prayer, which contributes to who you become. Verse 5, he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. In other words, don't turn prayer into a show and don't pray with mindless repetition. I think maybe we've all experienced mindless repetition. If you use a rote prayer system, Father, thank you for the food, and in Jesus' name, amen. You say the same things for dinner all the time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name, amen. You can just spit it out. He says, don't do that. The religious leaders, they love to stand and to pray out loud, pray where people could see them and even hear them, praying things like, Lord, thank you that I am not like that adulterous woman over there. Lord, thank you that I am not like this tax collector right here. Oh, thank you, thank you. And they'd stand and they looked so holy. And the people who didn't know any better, the adulterous woman, the tax collector, would look and go, man, Lord, I can never be like that. They were looking to the wrong things. God didn't want them to be like that. Jesus, in fact, says, don't do that. Stop it. And they had formalized their prayers so that they were, well, canned prayers. I mean, when something's written so well, use it. So they did. Like many of the religions today who have formal prayers at certain times, it is a specific prayer. And that's what they had turned to. Specific prayer. Here's the words. And they would pray these eloquent words, but they weren't their words and they didn't come from their heart, although they sounded very nice. And Jesus says, don't do that either. When we pray, we should pray not like the heathen do, but we should pray because there's something in our heart, because we spend time with the Lord, because my desperate plea and my desperate cry is for His work in my life. I need to hear from you, Lord, or I need direction from you. A genuine prayer from your heart. Prayer isn't supposed to be reduced to a religious exercise. It's supposed to be about seeking the heart of God and communing with Him. So he says, go into a private place where you can be real and not influenced by others around you. Because really, others around us do influence us. There are certain things we might not pray or say out loud with someone else around us. Or we might try to put it in a better terms, King James English or something, when the others are around. We say things that we wouldn't say when others aren't around. We're influenced. And he says, don't do that. This is me and you time. And so when you pray, These personal, private prayers. Go away from others and spend time personally with me. I love prayer meetings. We should have prayer meetings. We need to have prayer meetings. However, I've also noticed that in prayer meetings, there's the potential for them to be hijacked. Little prayer terrorists. They come in and they can turn a wonderful prayer meeting into a gossip session. They come in and they will grasp the hands and they will say, "Father, you know my wife has a problem with submission. And I'm not the greatest husband in the world, but that's not her problem." And all of a sudden, everybody, instead of praising and praying, glorifying their Lord, they're thinking, "Oh, they've got marital problems." They don't see you as mature. They see you as someone saying more than you should. That's for your private prayer chamber, for you to take to the Lord, because that way, when you say the things that you need to, He can say the things He needs to. And He will be very direct and clear. So prayer sessions can turn into gunslinging very quickly. "Don't blame me, Lord. You know, it was that brother's fault, but help me to forgive them." It's the way we say it. Some like to give messages in their prayers. Don't have a pulpit, so I guess it's a prayer meeting. That's why I love the prayer. And they pray, breaking down the Greek, like God didn't know it. Bringing in the passages of Scripture, 3 points. "Heavenly Father, you know your word says in Zechariah," and you're just going for it. "And the Greek word says this, and Lord, I receive that." And everybody's like, "Okay, we got a Bible study going on." That's not prayer either. Prayer is very simple. Prayer is taking your heart, if there's something on it, and talking to God. It doesn't have to be King James English. If you don't know how to say it, awesome. Say it the way you know how to say it. You can stumble over your words with God. He edits. He can take all he can take all of that out. And He knows your heart. It even says here, hey, He knows your needs before you even ask. So just go to Him privately. So Jesus, seeing that it is important for them to pray and to pray with the right heart, you know what He does here? He teaches them to pray. Verse 9. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." First thing to understand when you're going to pray, understand who you're talking to. Be very clear who you're approaching. It is God, our Father. Realize that. When you approach God to pray, make sure that you get there first. It's not about us. It's about Him. Some jump right into prayer with, "God, help me with this. God, help me with that. God, do this. God, do that." Do you even know who you're talking to? Get there first. Then, he says, verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So He doesn't jump right in with, "Give me this, give me that, help me here, provide this." He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Here's what we need to do also. As we consider Him first, we come, give Him time. Just let me consider who I'm approaching. Then think about the bigger picture. Okay, the plan of salvation is your priority. Okay, you've got a big picture here. Consider that before you start getting to all the other things. It might change your prayer. Then verse 11. With that perspective, give us this day our daily bread, then our needs.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.